Support for IPR and this podcast comes from Dr. Suzanne Stock, board-certified specialist in orthodontics. Dr. Stock is pleased to provide braces and Invisalign for children, teens, and adults in Iowa City and across Southeast Iowa. More online at drssortho.com.
It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Later this hour, we'll meet classical music composer Carl Schimmel of Grinnell. He was recently named a Guggenheim Fellow. But first, great music for summer listening. All of the artists we're going to talk about this hour are appearing in Iowa this summer, and we'll preview some of Iowa's great summer music festivals as well. Tell us about your favorite. Tweet Iowa Public Radio or email talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. Tell us what your favorite summer music event is and why you love it. And joining me now are Tony Daner and Mark Simmet of Iowa Public Radio Studio One Tracks. Hello, gentlemen.
Hi, Charity.
Good morning, Charity.
Thank you both so much for being here today. So, as I mentioned, all of the artists that you guys are going to be talking about today are appearing in Iowa this summer. So tell me a little bit, Tony, you can go first. What was your criteria for putting people on this list?
I put people that I'm either really excited to see or really wish I could see. You know, that's really what it comes down to. I've got one, you know, bona fide living legend on my list, and then I have a few people that I have not seen, and then people I'm always willing to see. So,
all right, Mark, you have anything to add to that?
Well, I would just say that Tony and I did fairly extensive research, Charity, on what's coming up this summer, and it's kind of amazing how many artists are coming through the state, you know, when you take into consideration all the different festivals, of course, theater shows, club shows. And I think we kind of kept in mind music, as Tony said, that we would like to see. And also that you would hear on our show, Studio One Tracks.
All right. Well, we'll talk about the artists. We'll talk about the events they are part of. And Mark, I'm going to let you go first. What's the first selection on your list?
Okay. Well, I'll starting out with, and we're kind of going, I think, roughly in chronological order. This is an act that's coming up at the Engler Theater on June 8th, and it's Catfish Keith. From right there in Iowa City, has had a long career. He's been making music, recording music since 1984, released several albums. And the thing about Catfish Keith is that he keeps alive that 1920s, 1930s country blues tradition so beautifully. If you've ever seen him perform, it's just fantastic the way he can bring that music to life. He's got a new record out right now called Mississippi River Blues, and it's kind of emblematic of what he does. He has songs from everybody from Blind Willie Johnson to Jimmy Rogers and Mississippi John Hurt, and some of his own originals as well. And he's a fantastic guitar player, just somebody well worth seeing. And he's back in Iowa, tours worldwide. He's going to be back in Iowa for a while, and he's got a show coming up at the Englert, as I said, on June 8th. And let's hear a track from Catfish Keith from his latest album. And this one's called Mama Don't You Sell It, Papa Don't You Give It Away.
Yes, people, I said no, baby, no. People, I said yes. People, I said no, baby, no. Have a good time. Don't you gonna sell it. Don't you give it away. You got to keep on moving the till. Mama, don't you sell it. Papa, don't you give it away.
All right, a little bit of Catfish Keith's Mama, Don't You Sell It, Papa, Don't You Give It Away, and he's going to be appearing at the Englert Theater in Iowa City on June 8th, which is coming up much sooner than I'd like to admit, but sounds like it's going to be a great show. Tony, how about your, well, speaking of living legends, your first choice?
Yeah, my first pick is, this is also the first week of June, and this is a big show happening in Des Moines. It's David Byrne, still best known for having been the lead singer of the Talking Heads, but he's been putting out music pretty consistently his entire career. Also an author, a filmmaker, a visual artist, doing all kinds of stuff. And he was in Iowa, I think, 5 years ago, performing at the 8035 Music Festival. We'll talk about this year's festival shortly. He was one of the headliners with St. Vincent. They had an album together at the time, and they performed together. It was an amazing show, and David Byrne actually spent that whole week leading up to 8035 in Des Moines, and he bought a bicycle and explored the trail system and wrote a blog about his time in Des Moines and how much he really liked it and Iowa in general. And I think that
went viral.
It did.
Everybody
yeah,
shared that.
I think it's still I think it's still up if you want to look for it. David Byrne has a new album. It's called American Utopia. He'll be playing songs from that at the Des Moines Civic Center. And that's happening on June 5th, which is a Tuesday night, which is not convenient for anybody, I know, but that's just how it works.
Well, I think people are willing to drop everything and go out of their way to see David Byrne.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Depends on your drive, I suppose. But and it says right here on the Performing Arts Center's website, he'll be playing songs from American Utopia, also solo songs from earlier in his solo career, and we'll hear some Talking Heads songs. And the song we're going to hear right now from American Utopia is called Gasoline and Dirty Sheets.
Someone in a dangerous place. Someone got lost somewhere. Many people are locked outside. Many people lost out there. Well, many people they can't get in. Many people they pay no mind. Many people they leave this place. And many people afraid of time. Well now, this man he could be king. This woman she's royalty.
Bit of David Byrne, Gasoline and Dirty Sheets. He'll be appearing at the Des Moines Civic Center on June 5th, a Tuesday night, as you said, Tony, but I think it's worth staying out late on a school night.
I'll probably just watch Stop Making Sense yet again, you know.
All right. Next up, Mark, what do you have on your list?
I just want to mention I'm waiting for that Talking Heads reunion, but I don't think it's ever going to happen, sadly.
You know, it happened at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction ceremony several years ago. Got the impression it was not by everybody's choice. So let's just be grateful that
a
happened.
Forced
you
reunion.
Know?
Right.
Sure.
All right, Mark, what's next?
Okay, next on my list, the Poison Control Center, which is a band out of Ames. And by the way, when you Google the Poison Control Center, it's interesting the results that come up. Even if you say Poison Control Center band, you still get a lot of Poison Control Center websites and so on. Anyway, this band from Ames.
A hard band to search around online.
Not hard, but you know, even if you specify band, they still mix in. They think, well, maybe you don't know what you want, and they tell you about some poison control center in Georgia or something.
Well, that can be useful too.
It's interesting. Yes, that could be useful. The band kind of went on hiatus, did go on hiatus for a while a few years back, and they are back now doing live dates again, and I believe also recording some new music, I think Tony mentioned to me the other day.
Yeah, they've got a new song up already on YouTube. I think I saw it 17 minutes long.
Okay. That's ambitious. The one we're going to hear is something that they released right before that hiatus, and it was included on a release called the Iowa City Song Project. And the songs were ostensibly about Iowa City, and Poison Control Center really took that seriously. Patrick Tate Fleming told me this was based on a true story, and it's a song called Old Capital City.
Son says we got the bed, it's better than the floor. But he says make sure you leave a crack in the door. Oh, we're rolling out of town on the street called Dubuque. I'll pull it over because Joe's got a puke. Many nights I walk home by the light of your golden dome. I'll tell you everything about me over beer from John's Grocery.
All right. Talk about local music in a,
there you go.
In a very local sense. Old Capital City from the Poison Control Center. And you said they're going to be at 8035?
Actually, I did not mention that. But
all right.
You're right, Charity. They are going to be at 8035, one of many Iowa bands appearing at that festival. And as I said, we singled them out because, well, first of all, they're a great band. But, you know, back together again, that's kind of big news. They'll be at 8035 downtown Des Moines, July 6th and 7th is the weekend for the festival. The Poison Control Center will be there.
All right. And we will talk a little bit more about another band that's going to be at 8035. Of course, a lot of bands are going to be at 8035 this summer. Tony, what's IPR's involvement at 8035 this summer?
Well, IPR has our own stage at the festival, and this will be, I think, the sixth year that we'll be doing this. We will get bands who have already performed at the festival or have yet to perform. They'll come and do a little 15-minute or so set at our stage. A lot of people have really come to enjoy it. It's kind of become a fixture and a lot of people's favorite thing about the festival, actually. And it's really grown over the years. And something we're doing a little differently this time around, we have three bands who are not on the main festival stage, but they will be playing our stage exclusively. We've got Hex Girls from Cedar Falls, also the Marion band Trees Reach, and a third band that has yet to be named. So hope to see you at the IPR Free Stage at 8035.
All right, and of course, if you are a Studio One listener, you're going to hear a lot more about that as the weeks go on leading up to 8035, July 6th and 7th. We're going to take a short break. We'll be back in just a moment with Tony Daner and Mark Simmet of IPR Studio One. This is Talk of Iowa.
Support for IPR and this podcast comes from Dr. Suzanne Stock, board-certified specialist in orthodontics. Dr. Stock is pleased to provide braces and Invisalign for children, teens, and adults in Iowa City and across Southeast Iowa. More online at drssortho.com.
It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Coming up a little bit later this hour, I'll be talking with classical music composer Carl Schimmel of Grinnell. He was recently named a Guggenheim Fellow. Right now, we're talking about a different kind of music. With me, I've got Mark Simmet and Tony Daner from IPR Studio One Tracks. We're talking about artists who are going to be appearing in Iowa this summer, and both Mark and Tony have picked some of their favorites, and we'll talk about the events that they're going to be at as well. And Tony, it's your turn. What's next on your list?
Well, since we are on 8035, we'll stick with that, although we'll be going back in time a little bit for my next pick. But, 8035, it kind of is like Christmas for the Studio One team. It's our busiest time of year, and it's amazing. Also a bit of a relief when it's over. But right now we're in the stages of being very much looking forward to it. They announced the full lineup earlier this week. You can look for that. It's all over Twitter, Facebook, and also check out their website. And the artist that many of us are really especially excited to see this year is Courtney Barnett. Courtney Barnett has been around for a few years now. Her album that came out in 2015, which was called, I got to think about it, Sometimes I Sit and Think and Sometimes I Just Sit. That was one of my favorites of that year. Same with a lot of people, and put out a great album last year with Kurt Vile. She's got another album coming out on Friday. I think it's called Tell Me How You Really Feel. And And so we're really looking forward to that. The IPR stage might not be very busy during her set. I have a feeling we're all going to be over there, or as many of us as possible. But this song that we're going to hear right now is one that we've been playing on Studio One Tracks quite a bit. She doesn't take any prisoners on this song, that's for sure. It's called Nameless Faceless.
Courtney Barnett, Nameless Faceless, also appearing at the 8035 Music Festival in Des Moines, July 6th and 7th. And what's next on your list, Mark?
My next band will be appearing at Camp Euphoria, which is a festival in Lone Tree, July 12th, 13th, and 14th, and they are Middle Western. They have been playing around the state now for a few months. This band, if you have not heard about them, David Zolo and William Elliott Whitmore, two leading musicians and singer-songwriters in Iowa, getting together with some musicians from Chicago and forming this band. And they have a great album out called When Your Demons Are Underground and You've Got to Dig Them Up, another long title there. But if you haven't seen them live, they are just a fantastic live band. They bring a real classic rock and roll energy to their music. You know, they're veteran performers. They have great songs that Whitmore and Zolo have written. And it's just fantastic music. You can catch them live at Camp Euphoria. Here's one that features William Elliott Whitmore. It's called Creatures of Habit.
Creatures of Habit appearing at Camp Euphoria in Lone Tree. That festival is July 12th, 13th, and 14th. All right. What's next on your list, Tony?
Yeah, before we get to that one, I just want to remind everybody, Middle Western has actually performed live on Studio One Tracks twice. And during as part of our Studio One Underground series, we do that live from the Des Moines Social Club, usually the first Thursday of the month. And both of those performances live forever at IPR's website. That's iowapublicradio.org. Be sure to check those out. Everything Mark said about Middle Western is true. So,
fact checked.
Yep.
All right, what's next on your list,
Well,
Tony?
We're going to go back a little bit to back ahead. This is a show that hasn't happened yet, but we've jumped all the way to the middle of July. Want to talk about Codfish Hollow. This is a place in Maquoketa that has been around for a while, but I finally got to go in April for the first time. This is a actual literal barn that is in Maquoketa, Iowa, and they have shows there. Sean Muller, the guy who founded Day Trotter and is behind a lot of projects, great music projects here in Iowa, does the booking for this place and brings in some great artists all over the from everywhere, really, that have performed in this place. And I went to a show in April when it was very cold outside, and we had gloves and hats and winter coats during this show. This show is happening at the end of June that we're going to be talking about here, so hopefully they'll bring in the fans, because, this, again, this is a barn. It is not air-conditioned. It is not heated. So whatever the weather is like that day, you're just going to have to live with it.
People just describe it as magical, so even if it's hot, you can deal
right,
with that
right. You know,
magic,
if,
right?
Yeah, that those are all everything that is inconvenient about it kind of adds to its charm and just kind of makes people want to go back. And it really is a pretty wonderful place. And it does sound great, too. You know, we don't.
Right. And I've talked to Tiffany Beal on the show before, who, of course, owns the barn.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty fascinating story
really
behind
is.
It and a beautiful place for music.
It needs to be seen to be believed. And the artist that this is another show I would like to go to, but probably won't make it. The trio Joseph from Portland, Oregon. This is three sisters. Two of them are twins. And they're amazing vocalists, and you're going to hear that on this song, Blood and Tears.
Maybe it's longer than we thought. Even though we just got started, I know there's 100 mountains. It'll take more than we've got. I will stay. I will stay. I will stay till the end of the line. Did you care? That we got odds against us, we're probably gonna get real tired. Oh, we may have to choose. We're gonna have to learn what hard is, if it'll be a fight regardless. I only want the fight to be with you. I will stay. I will stay.
All right, a little bit of Joseph Blood and Tears appearing at Codfish Hollow outside of Maquoketa on June 27th. All right, Mark, we are back to you, and we're moving into August.
We're moving into August, and early August has come to be Hinterland Music Festival time in St. Charles, Iowa. Fantastic festival. Again, IPR heavily involved in that, at least in our presence there. You can come and say hello to us. We have a booth there, and there's a lot of great bands coming to Hinterland this year, including a couple of Iowa bands as well. And I wanted to single out Sturgill Simpson, Grammy winner, you know, for his most recent album, A Sailor's Guide to Earth, came out a couple of years back, was nominated not only for Best Country Album, but also Album of the Year. It won for Best Country Album, and that amuses me because although Sturgill Simpson does have a voice that sounds just like a country singer, his music is very, very, he's stretching the boundaries all the time. And on this album, which won Best Country Album, it many times sounds like an R&B album or some kind of grand symphonic orchestral piece of music. It's well beyond the boundaries of country music. Great album, though, and Sturgill Simpson will be at Hinterland on August 3rd. And fourth is the weekend for that. Here's one called Brace for Impact.
And his life.
Sturgill Simpson, a little bit of Brace for Impact, appearing at the Hinterland Music Festival in St. Charles on August 3rd and 4th. And we've got another Hinterland pick, Tony.
We sure do. This is the band that has the slot right before Sturgill Simpson. And there was no attempt at a serendipity between me and Mark in that one. It just turned out that way. Nathaniel Rateliff and the Night Sweats, great band. Little bit of rock and roll, a little bit of soul, a little bit of country in their sound. It all really works. I kind of think of Otis Redding when I hear their music. They put out a live album not that long ago, and they've got a new studio album, Tearing at the Seams. And the song we're going to hear is A Little Honey from Nathaniel Rateliff and the Night Sweats.
Nathaniel Rateliff and the Night Sweats, A Little Honey, also appearing at the Hinterland Music Festival. And we've got two more picks and not a lot of time. So, Mark, what do you have next?
Well, continuing in August, here's an act that's going to be at the Triple Crown Whiskey Bar and Raccoon Motel in Davenport. This is a venue co-owned by Sean Moeller and draws a lot of great acts to the venue because Sean Moeller, a great music fan, and loves to get great music to Iowa. He's got Lily Hyatt coming up on August 8th. She is the daughter of John Hyatt, and she was born in Los Angeles but raised in Nashville. So she sounds, again, like a country singer, but there's definitely a rock and roll thing going on with Lily Hyatt. And this is a track from her latest album, Trinity Lane. It's called Records.
Of Records, Lily Hyatt appearing at the Triple Crown Whiskey Bar and Raccoon Motel in Davenport on August 8th. And your final pick of the day, Tony?
Yes, my final pick is part of the River Loop Rhythm Series. This happens at the River Loop Amphitheater right by the Cedar River in Waterloo, which is a really nice concert series. They do several over the course of the summer. They go from 5:30 to 9:30, and there's a splash pad for the kids. These are family-friendly shows, you know, if you want to go out and see some great rock music, but also get home at a reasonable time, the River Loop Rhythm Series is for you. And I'm specifically going to mention the August 17th show because it is sponsored by Iowa Public Radio. So we hope to see you at that one. And the band performing at that one is the great Iowa band Sires. You might remember when they were Dylan Sires and Neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
They will be there with special guests and hope to have more information about those special guests soon. But right now, we're just going to hear a song from Sires, and there's a great music video for this one. Turn it up.
Turn it up. I hear the sound of something. Turn it up. I feel the pound of something. Turn it up. Baby, would you turn me on? Turn around now and
All right, we're going to let that keep playing. That's Sires, Turn It Up, appearing at the River Loop Amphitheater in Waterloo, August 17th. That's an event sponsored by Iowa Public Radio. Tony Daynor, thank you so much for being here today.
Thanks, Charity.
And Mark Zimmett, thank you.
My pleasure, Charity. Thanks.
Tony Daynor and Mark Zimmett of Iowa Public Radio Studio One Tracks. And, of course, you can see a list of the artists who are going to be performing in Iowa that we've talked about today on our website a little later today, iowapublicradio.org. This is Talk of Iowa. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. We're going to continue talking about music, but we're going to change gears a little bit and talk with classical music composer Carl Schimmel. He lives in Grinnell and is an associate professor of music at Illinois State University. His music has been performed all over the world, and he's recently been named a 2018 Guggenheim Fellow, an honor that will allow him to spend the next year focusing on his composition. And he is here with us now. Hello, Carl.
Hi, Charity.
Thank you so much for being here today.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I like your show very much.
Thanks a lot. Well, we'll play a little bit from one of your compositions in just a moment. But for people who are not familiar with your work, can you describe your genre to us?
Sure. Well, I'll do my best. That's a common question, and it's a difficult one to answer, I guess, because my music is mostly chamber music, but occasionally I write for orchestra or band or chorus. And I guess stylistically, I draw on a lot of the same great 20th century compositions that my peers do, pieces like, Rite of Spring or pieces by Bartok or Shostakovich. But I guess in general, my music tends to be sort of expressionist in a way, if that makes sense. So it tends to be a little bit goes to extremes, and there are sudden changes. But I also like to play with humor and have a little bit of playfulness in my music.
Well, let's listen to a little bit from a composition. This is called Roadshow for Otto, and we're going to listen to a little bit of Movement 2, The Clown Mandeville. All right, that was a little bit from the composition Roadshow for Otto, Movement 2, The Clown Mandeville. With me is the composer of that piece, Carl Schimmel. And Carl, Otto, that's called Roadshow for Otto. Otto's your son, right?
That's right, yeah. I started the piece when he was only about 6 or 7 months old. And my idea for the piece was in each of the short movements to depict him playing with a different toy, and these toys were all toys that are featured on Antiques Roadshow, so that's what kind of pulls them all together.
So they weren't toys that you actually had in your home. This was imagining your son playing with these toys.
Right, yeah, so toys that were on the show that I thought he would get a kick out of if we could have them in our home.
So that gives us a little bit of insight into your creative process. I mean, do you remember the moment of inspiration when this idea started to come together?
Well, yes. I started this piece when I was in residency at a place called Copeland House, which is a place. It's one of Aaron Copeland's homes, and they run a residency program there where composers can go and live by themselves for some period of time, and all they do is compose. So I just decided to write a piece for this small ensemble, and I was actually looking for ideas, and being a new father, I started thinking about writing a piece for my kids, and I ended up writing a piece called Roadshow for Thora, which is for my daughter. And
you have to be fair if you're going to write.
Exactly. And I don't know why I settled on the Antiques Roadshow idea. I think it just crossed my mind somehow, but I thought, well, that would be kind of neat to take some of these unique items that are featured on this show that, you know, we probably will never own, but I just thought it was kind of an interesting starting point, you know.
Yeah, let's listen to a little bit more. This one's from Movement 4, also from Roadshow for Otto. This one's called Camel and Monkey. Bit of Camel and Monkey from Roadshow for Otto. How old is Otto now?
He's 8 and a half.
What does he think of his Roadshow?
He likes it. Yeah, he's kind of, I mean, as you can probably imagine, a little bit more into some of the music that is on the radio,
right,
and stuff. But he likes it.
I want to talk a little bit about your path to becoming a composer, because looking at your background, it seems a little unlikely that we're talking about this today. You actually worked as an actuarial assistant for a while. You have a degree in math?
Yes. So my undergrad degree is in math and music. And after I got my master's in music composition, I just wanted to live in New York City for a while. So I spent 3 years in New York City and used my math degree just as a way of making a living in the city.
Was math a backup plan for you in studying music?
Basically, yes. I mean, I don't know about always, but from a pretty young age, I found that I was especially interested in, basically the creative arts, but that ended up being music. Although when I was very young, I was more of a writer. And then I also always had a love of math. So it was basically a backup plan, but it was one that I enjoyed, you know.
Right. Do you think that there's a relationship for you between math and how it works and music?
Yeah, definitely. You know, on the one hand, music being a creative art is seen as something that is perhaps not so cerebral. I mean, there's a lot of emotion behind most of the music that we enjoy listening to. But on the other hand, music relies so heavily on pattern that I think there is that connection. You know, mathematical patterns, you find those in nature and in music. And so I think that's probably the closest connection that I can think of. And it does show up somewhat in my music, and I've used math in my music more often when I was a student, you know, when math was fresher in my mind, I suppose. But
well, in listening to your music, I guess there are songs that I hear that sound mathematical, that have the patterns and stick with the patterns. Your music that I've heard also seems to, you seem to take a lot of delight in breaking a pattern.
Right, that's right, yeah. So like in that last piece, which I don't think of as particularly mathematical, but there's a clear rhythm and pattern that's sort of set up. But there's always these slight deviations. So, for example, I might stretch out a section of music or cut it off. And in the first example that you played, there are frequent changes of mood and tempo because I'm imagining kind of these rushing ideas. It's all kind of imaginary and fantastical, whereas the second is a single idea. But the interruptions that come in the second example that you played, the camel and monkey,
mm-hmm.
are supposed to be kind of like the playful monkey interrupting the plodding of the camel.
You mentioned doing a retreat where you were focusing on music. You're an associate professor of music at Illinois State University. You live in Grinnell, so there's a lot of commuting, obviously,
right.
that's involved there. You also have two fairly young kids.
Right.
Where do you find the space, both mentally and physically, to compose right now?
Well, this year I'm on sabbatical. And
right.
so it just so happens that the fellowship that I just received will allow me to have one more year here in Grinnell with the family. It is a challenge, and we have kind of made it work because my wife, Mariko, who teaches at the college here in Grinnell, she teaches Japanese here. She's had a few sabbaticals, and I've had a few sabbaticals in some years that I've requested unpaid leave so that I could be with family. But, of course, as professors, we have summers off, so that's the time that I get a lot of my writing done, that time and also over winter break.
Well, and a lot of people are, of course, familiar with life in academia and the pressure to publish, to get your research out there. So as a professor of music, are your compositions getting a composition published? Is that your goal then? Is that what maybe success is measured by in the academic world?
Now most composers self-publish. The software and the technology has developed to the point where it's pretty straightforward to publish your own materials. So it's not so much publication, but performances, commissions, premieres. Of course, recognitions like the Guggenheim mm-hmm. go a long way in making a case that you deserve tenure, for example, which I already have tenure, but these are some of the things that administrations would look at when deciding whether a professor in my field would receive tenure.
How do you make connections with orchestras around the world? As I mentioned, your music has been performed around the world. Where do those connections come from? Is that something you need to seek out yourself, or are people searching for you?
It's a little of both. Making connections with orchestras is a special challenge because they have limited space in their programs for new music. And there are so many talented composers out there. I don't suppose maybe it's something that the average listener to the program realizes, but there really are, hundreds of really great composers in this country who don't get much of an opportunity to have their music heard, especially their orchestral music. So I can speak to my own experience and the times that I've had my orchestral music performed. It's often through programs that orchestras have in place for finding young composers, typically, whose music they would like to feature. So, for example, I participated in something called the Minnesota Orchestra Composer Institute, and that's a special program that they have where they only play a collection of pieces by young composers. So those kinds of opportunities exist, and outside of that, it's kind of a crapshoot. you just send out your music and hope that somebody listens to it and enjoys it enough to contact you.
I want to play a little bit of another piece of yours. This is from Four Nocturnes from the Oblivion Haha. And can you give us a little bit of background on this?
Sure. Yeah. So this is one of my only works for voice and ensemble. And it's a setting of four poems from a collection called The Oblivion Haha by James Tate. He sadly passed away not too long ago, but he got his master's at the University of Iowa Writers' Workshop, and so there's kind of a connection there. But I just love his poetry. It's very fantastical and surreal, and I think that you'll be playing, is it Jim's All Night Diner?
Yeah.
Yeah, so this is just a kind of a strange, it's a great example of his writing where he paints a scene that is, it's hard to tell what's going on, but I think that the title of the poem gives you a hint that he's basically depicting this diner as a little world unto itself. And this is performed by Lucy Shelton, who's a New York soprano, with da capo chamber players.
All right, let's listen. So that was just a very short excerpt from the Four Nocturnes from the Oblivion Haha, and inspired by a poem by James Tate, which provided the lyrics for that. And we have just a moment left. So the next year is you're going to be focusing on composition. You also have some major performances coming up too, right?
Yeah, I have some performances coming up this summer. This week I have a premiere of a piece for viola and piano that I wrote for a composer and violist friend. His name's Kurt Rohde. He's going to be performing that on the West Coast in a few places in California. It's going to be played again in Rhode Island, which is where I grew up.
Oh, nice.
And also I have a premiere later in the summer also in Rhode Island at the Kingston Chamber Music Festival.
Well, exciting, and I hope you have really an incredible year with your Guggenheim Fellowship. Thank you so much for talking with me today.
Thank you, Charity.
Composer Carl Schimmel, he lives in Grinnell. He's an associate professor of music at Illinois State University, and he's been named a 2018 Guggenheim Fellow. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe.